Well, good morning. Greetings in the precious name of Jesus. It is good to be here again this morning. Thank you, brothers, for those opening thoughts. Thank you, Ennis, for the children's lesson there. So, children, how good is God this morning? He's a very good God. He blessed you richly, putting you in a godly family, in a home that cares, in a home that especially brought you to church this morning to hear them words. So, thank you, Brother Silas. Thank you for those words. So how are we doing this morning? I'll ask, are we encouraged this morning in Jesus? It's God's heart that we are. So, well, maybe we can bow our heads for a word of prayer, and I'll endeavor to share what I feel that the Lord has laid upon my heart. So, yes, eternal Father in heaven, Lord, as we come before you this morning, we do love you this morning. We thank you this morning, Lord. We're grateful to be in your presence again today. We're truly a blessed people, Lord, to be able to be found in this situation this morning in a church room in Bern, Indiana in 2026. Lord, you are a good God, and you care about us, and you know all our needs, and you know the nervousness I have this morning. Lord, I pray that you help me. I pray you bless my tongue as I share, Lord. I pray for the ears that hear it this morning, Lord. I pray that you bless their ears, that they hear the things that you want them to hear. Lord, I pray that no one ever takes the things I say the wrong way and become offended, Lord. I pray this morning, Father, my heart is not that. I pray you bless this day. We do thank you. We love you, Lord. We pray in the precious name of Jesus. So what I endeavor to share on this morning is forgiveness. And I know there's two aspects to forgiveness. I know there's being forgiven and being able to forgive. So as I look around, don't see that there will be a big need for it this morning, but of the message maybe. But I felt that God did lay it upon my heart. Not that I feel that you need it, but I feel that as a congregation, this thing is important, that we learn to forgive and we learn to be forgiven. And I know this morning as I share this, I stand a chance of being misunderstood and taken the wrong way, but that's not my heart. So you bear with me, and I have no one in mind as I share this. But I know this much this morning. I know that each one of us here has a soul. And as was shared this morning, Alan shared those things. And I know that we all have a soul, and that we're all going to stand before Jesus someday. And I know that as we stand there, and we stand there with unforgiveness in our heart, or if we stand there not forgiven, that we're going to stand in a very bad situation. So that's my heart this morning, because I know that forgiveness can go deep. It's a deep subject. It's a deep matter of our heart this morning that you know, to be able to forgive like Jesus did this morning, or maybe even Joseph. We know the situation that Joseph faced with his brothers and how he was mistreated, and to be able to forgive like that this morning, God has to do a work in our heart, because I know that we all have some of the same things deep down inside that we battle with. And I know from my past experiences, I know the things that I faced. And to be able to completely forgive this morning, we need to have Jesus inside. We need to have Jesus deep down in there to help us in these areas, because life is real, and we face these battles. I was reading a book when I felt that this is what God wanted me to share on a while back. I listened to a message, and they were talking about forgiveness. Then I picked up a book. This book was talking about forgiveness and being forgiven. And I took some things out of that book that I will share what came out of the book. It was a very, very powerful book, a very convicting book. And in the very first chapter of this book, this man was a pastor. The first chapter, he tells of a time when he was young, and that someone very near to him hurt him very deeply and hurt him very bad. And He doesn't say what happened. He doesn't say what this man did. But only that the pain was deep and the hurt was very profound. And this man that hurt him, he looked up to this guy as a father figure in his life. And he looked up to him for a lot of advice. And he got a lot of direction from him. And the anger that he felt well up inside him, it overwhelmed him. And it set him on a very dark course in life. And as he talked this over with one of his pastor friends, he poured out all the details and to his so-called friend of what happened to him and the things that he'd done. And then he paused. He was waiting for his other friend to maybe just comment. He was maybe waiting for him to say, you know, you're right about the anger you feel. You're right for the problems that happened in your life. And what happened to you is awful. But he didn't. After his friend listened to him for a long time and listened to all the details, and his friend just looked over at him and he told him that you simply need to forgive. You just simply need to forgive your friend for what happened. You need to forgive your friend for what happened. But he interrupted him and he started telling him about, started adding more details to the story, and he really was like trying to prove his case and his friend interrupted him and told him, he just said, you must forgive and you must release this man. You must release him. Then you can be set free. And it's an amazing thought to think about this morning. If we don't release people and set them free, we're never going to be set free. We're going to be held in bonds to that situation. We're going to be held in bonds to it. You know, that's the way it is sometimes in life. You know, we can kind of tell that. There's instances in my own life where I can tell that I can say I forgave, but deep down inside it keeps resurfacing and keeps coming back up to the top. And you know, when that happens to me, it just recently happened to me where I had a struggle with a person who we did a job for, and he struggled with this and he didn't pay us a large sum of money. And you know, I told my brother, we're going to forgive him. We're going to let this go and move on. But the subject came up a few times, and I realized it's still there. I never forgave this guy. I can say I did, but I still hold a little bit in there. And I believe God wants us to go to great length to make sure that's not there. He wants us maybe to make it a matter of prayer. Pray for this guy. And I don't know that it would help that guy, but it would help you if we can make it a matter of prayer. I don't know what we think this morning when we hear these statements. I don't know what we're thinking. I don't know what goes through our mind. Maybe we're thinking that you don't know what happened to me. You don't know the reasons I don't forgive certain situations. And maybe you're thinking they lied to me over and over. Maybe you think that you was taken advantage of one way or another. Maybe you feel your family was singled out. Maybe an inheritance deal. I've seen this work out in families over the years, and it worked out on my dad's side and my mom's side both, where the one who got the home place, the rest of the family thought they got taken advantage of and didn't get no inheritance. And you know, they fought their whole life. They never, it was there with them. You know, they got along together. They got together for potlucks. They got together on the, but that thing was under the surface. And when things came to head, this always was there. And as far as I know, many of them went to their grave that way. You know, that just feeling they got taken advantage of or one way or another. Maybe we feel this morning like you want to make someone suffer like you suffered. Maybe we have them feelings this morning that we're never going to forgive. You know, I think it would do good for us this morning to, when we face these battles in life and we face something that happened that was less than ideal, maybe we can just look at it and look and see if we had anything to do with it. If we had any blame involved in this or if we caused any of the problem. You know, maybe we caused some hurts also. Everyone here this morning knows that forgiveness is a lovely idea. We all know it's a very good idea to forgive and to forget. But then there's sometimes these big problems come up, and then when reality, and it's reality, and that's where the shoe rubber meets the road. And because this morning there's two parts of this observation, and both of them are very important for us to think about, to be able to forgive and to be able to be forgiven. And so this morning, as we look into this here, we're going to consider the words of Jesus this morning. In Luke 6:37, we're going to see what Jesus has to say about this. He says, judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, you will not be condemned. He says, forgive, and you'll be forgiven. In the Sermon on the Mount this morning, Jesus says it very plainly. If you forgive man their trespasses, if you forgive man their sins, your heavenly Father will forgive yours also. And if you forgive men not their sins, your Father will not forgive their sins also, your sins also. That's Matthew 6, verses 14 and 15. I wrote some of these down, so I'm not flipping through the pages. So. The Apostle Paul, he put it in a different framework this morning. In Ephesians 4, he said, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ forgave you. Peter, he had experience with this also. He faced these things in life also, and he knew from experience the value of forgiveness. When he wrote the first epistle, he summed it up this way. He said, above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. That's Peter 4, 8. Think about that this morning. That love, if we love someone, we can forgive much. We can forgive much if we have love in our heart for them. Above all, love deeply. In Corinthians 13, 5 says, while describing the greatest virtue, Paul declared that love will keep no wrong. You know, love will keep no records of wrongs. I believe this morning, love don't keep record. It don't keep score because it forgives the trespasses of others. It forgives the sins of others. So you don't need to keep track of the things that happened and the hurts that we received. You know, Jesus was the best example in the whole Bible. The purest example of forgiveness. When he hung on the cross, Jesus was condemned to death by evil men who plotted to murder him. And they produced lying witnesses. They produced lying men to convict him. You know, as Jesus was on the cross, he was hanging there. He was there looking at the crowd, and they were mobbing. They were the mob that was there. They were cheering his suffering. You know, this was the Son of God, that he knew no sin. He was the only sinless innocent man who ever walked earth. And, you know, he had the power to come off the cross. He had the power to call 10,000 angels, 10,000 legions of angels to come down and help him. And in his last moment, he said some very powerful words to this mob, to this crowd. He asked the Father in heaven to forgive them. You know, they didn't deserve forgiveness. But Jesus he extended the forgiveness to them, to each one of them. That way they wouldn't be condemned. These words, they take away our excuse this morning. They take away excuse to not forgive. When Jesus can forgive like that, and we see all the examples of forgiveness through the Bible, they take away all our excuses to not forgive. Can we forgive this morning? Alan shared with us this morning that all things were given to us so that we can achieve this. All things were given to us this morning that we can achieve this in our heart. If we allow Jesus in there and we allow Jesus to do the work that he wants in our life, we can achieve forgiveness. We can succeed. We can exceed in that. What would happen to us this morning if we got treated the way Jesus did? What would come out of our life? What would come out of our life if we got treated the way Joseph did this morning when he got sold into slavery? His brothers, would anger come out of our life? Would we be upset? Would we have a terrible life, or would we make the best of it the way they did? Maybe we think this morning that if someone would just say sorry, or maybe someone would just show some remorse for the way we was treated, maybe we'd be able to forgive them. You know, the world this morning, they use these excuses. They use these excuses to continue in their bitterness, in their anger, and their desire to get even. These things are the flesh this morning. Consider Jesus on the cross this morning. No one seemed very sorry. Even as he said those words that asked God to forgive them, they mocked him and they taunted him. They said, if you're the king of Israel, come down from the cross and save yourself. No one was sorry for this. You know, when Jesus died, the people who put him there to death, they had a feeling of accomplishment. They were pleased with the outcome. You know, that's a very hard heart. This heart gets in a very hard situation sometimes, you know. How do I get there? How did the heart get there? I believe it's by walking through life and not learning how to forgive and not being able to release people and letting people go for the past wrongs. You know, Pilate, he had some conviction on it. He washed his hands on it. He didn't know for sure what was going on. He didn't want to have this on. He didn't want to have this blood on his hands. But the Jewish leaders, they hated Jesus furiously. They were happy to see him suffer. You know, evil was in the air in those days, and darkness did its work. But it's much like that today. If you go into Fort Wayne, if you go into the big events that happen in these towns around us, you can see that darkness is having its way in every area, and it's astounding. I didn't go for a while to pass out tracts, but God laid it on my heart that I need to. You know, we don't hear no one saying they were sorry for what happened to Jesus, but Jesus, he forgave them either way, any way. You know, when we're hurt this morning, when we feel that we got taken advantage of, we need to forgive. We need to forgive like Jesus either way. Because if we don't forgive this morning, if we don't let go, nothing that person ever does will ever please us. That contention will always continue to be there. And precisely this morning, to be able to forgive either way is what it's going to take to be able to follow Jesus. To be able to be a follower of Jesus, we need to forgive regardless if the situation is ideal or if the situation is our fault or not. We must be able to say to the people who hurt us or we feel hurt us, we must be able to forgive them. Or the ones that attacked us, we must be able to say that to them. Life is real. We must be able to sometimes say sorry to our children and our wives for maybe not being the dad or the husband we needed to be that week. We must be able to apologize. We must be able to repent. To be able to respond like Jesus this morning, we need to have Jesus on the inside. To be a Christian this morning, we need to be there. Sometimes it's easier in some ways to say what forgiveness is not than what it is. I'm sure we can see it sometimes. We can see what forgiveness is not. You know, when we hear someone say that we just can't forgive, I actually heard them words. We heard people say that they're never going to forgive in this situation. We're actually talking about something other than the Bible. And these things cannot be coming from a Christian person. Forgiveness does not mean that we approve of everything that happened, or we approve what someone else did. It does not mean that we need to pretend that the evil never took place. It does not mean that we need to make excuses for other people's bad behavior. It does not mean this morning that the negative consequences of sin will be canceled, because we know this morning that sin has consequences. This sin has consequences. You know, there are stories that we hear all the time of people who commit grievous sins, that do all kinds of bad things. Some of them get caught. Some of them go to jail. Some of them confess their wrongdoings. Some of them will get fired. Forgiveness can still be granted in this side of eternity for that. So there's a CEO of a big home builder in Fort Wayne that we worked for many years ago. Just recently he got arrested in an FBI raid on some very corrupt things that were going on. He was a very prominent man, a very uppity-up man in the community. You know, he can be forgiven. He's going to pay for those crimes that he did. In this book, this man received a letter from someone. In this book, there's a bunch of little different stories in this book. So, and I'm not trying to overdo this forgiveness thing when I'm talking this morning. So that's one of my shortcomings when I share on a topic. So you bear with me. So in this book, a man received a letter from someone who had to come to grips with the fact that he was abused when he was a child. And the trauma that it caused him, and the fact that he was raised by a family whose parents didn't express love to their children the way they should have, it played havoc in his life. And over the years, you say now he had to come to grips with that and to overcome it with his own life. You know, I can tell you the story from this book, but these happenings are all around us. I've seen this play out firsthand when I grew up. We had some cousins that, or I should say some family that lived around the corner from us, and we farmed together, so we knew them very well. This family had a lot of daughters, and they had a lot of daughters. And unknown to us, as we grew up, we didn't know it, but these daughters were facing a tough life at home, and we didn't know it. And we were their friends. And as they turned 18, they left home one by one, and they moved. They moved into Fort Wayne. And they didn't have no, I know these were pretty sheltered from Fort Wayne. They didn't have much access into Fort Wayne. So they moved in there, and I noticed most of them married men, very young, at 18, 19, that were, they were almost double their age, and they married these men. And for credit for these men, they're still with them, and they give them a pretty good life. I still know these girls. And so, but they never learned. They never learned how to ever forgive their dad. I know this because when their dad passed away, and at the funeral, the children came home to the funeral, and it was a pretty tough sight. The children was weeping with bitterness towards their dad. They weren't so much sorry he died, but they was bitter at their dad, and they had a hard time with it. You know, somewhere along the line, I just ran into one the other day at the gas station. I talked to him for a while, and I told him that I have a lot of memories from our younger years, and I don't know how to share this with them. But for them to go on in life, they need to learn to forgive their dad. They had a hard time, and I don't believe they ever did, and I don't know their thoughts on it, because I never asked them, because it was a tough situation. But I know that they're going to have to learn to forgive their dad and to move on. This man went on to wrote in the story, he went on to write in the story that for many years, this man was focused on trying to help the community and try to fix people's problems and just trying to, because of the things that he faced in life, he was trying to help these other people get out of the situations that they were in, until he realized one day that he never learned how to forgive the person that hurt him. He never learned that he needed to forgive his dad, or this person or his neighbor. He never forgave his neighbor. He never learned to let his neighbor go. He never learned to release him. So all the things that he was doing here was not helping anyone, until the fact that he could truly release his neighbor from his heart. His ministry was not, it was not what it needed to be. And he knew that if it was going to be fixed, that only God could fix it in his own heart. And the first step that he said he needed to learn was he needed to learn how to forgive. He needed to learn how to forgive his neighbor before he could help anyone else that he was counseling with. Art Schmucker told me a story. I met him last week. He came to my house. He told me a story about a family from Bern here that came to visit his dad when he was young. You may know him, but I don't. But this man had 10 or 12 children, and they came with him to his dad's house, and he was younger, and their mom left him. Their mom ran away. She moved out, and she never came home. Somewhere along the line in their marriage, something went wrong. Something went terribly wrong in their marriage, and she chose never to forgive her husband, and she went to her grave that way. Art was telling me as they were singing that night, they were singing songs for his dad, and as they got to that last song, this man had a long face. He didn't sing much of the songs, but they came to the last song, they sang Come Home. I'm not sure if I know the song, but Art was telling me that this man sang with all his heart when they sang that song, and he's seen that on the floor beneath his eyes, where his eyes was wet with tears. On the concrete floor. But as far as I know, that lady never learned to forgive. She went to her grave when she was in the hospital on her deathbed. They asked to come visit. She left one or two of the girls come, but she rejected the rest of the family, and she went to her grave that way. So much easier just to forgive and just to take the burden off your shoulders than to go through life that way and to live like that. And this story is helpful this morning because it demonstrates this morning that forgiveness is essentially, it's a heart issue. You know, it's possible this morning to say kind words of forgiveness while harboring anger and bitterness and unforgiveness. Because forgiveness this morning begins in the heart. And when we learn to forgive from the heart, it'll work its way out of our life. And if we won't have to tell people that we learn to forgive, they will know that we learn to forgive. There's a sense this morning that forgiveness, or even forgiving someone who hurt you deeply, is between you and God. And other people may not understand it, or they may not recognize it, or they may not even own up when they need to receive it and accept it in their life. You know, sometimes there's an element that of not accepting forgiveness from someone because you want to hold your own little edge. God forbid. God wants us to accept it when someone comes with forgiveness. Forgiveness this morning is our own decision. It's a decision that we make on the inside to refuse to live in those problems of the past. It is a choice that we need to make to release others so we can be set free. It will never change the past. It won't change the pain we experienced in the past. But it can break that cycle of bitterness. It can break that cycle that we harbor, that bitterness inside us that binds us to the wounds of yesterday. You know, forgiveness will allow us this morning to move on and to let go. It'll allow us to be free. When you release, the freedom that you feel from releasing will be amazing. I know that from experience. We can even forgive when that person don't make no confession of wrongdoing. We can choose to forgive in our heart. Just remember, there's testimonies all over of forgiveness, of the power of forgiveness this morning, the powerful thing that does. You remember, you guys all know Lem Vega. You remember the story. This story is still being said in prisons of how he was forgiven and went in, and brothers went in and helped him do the ministry. These stories are still being said. It was powerful. We need to remember that sometimes God sends these things our way, like not getting paid for a project, or God wants to work in our life. He wants to see how I'm going to respond. He wants to see what I have deep down inside me also. He wants to see if I really have strife down in there and if I'm going to be able to overcome that. You know, we can forgive even when the person does nothing to earn forgiveness. You know, forgiveness this morning, it is a beautiful gift. It is a beautiful gift that we receive. And we need to give this gift freely to anyone who asks for it, and anyone who wants it, or anyone who desires to be forgiven. We need to extend this. You can forgive the other person, and he may not even know about it. And you could probably even forgive without saying, "I forgive you." But you'll probably end up saying that. You know, forgiveness this morning is a matter of heart, of the heart. Everyone knows that forgiveness is a great idea, and I'll say that again, and we all know that. And sometimes when some difficult subject comes up, you know, God shows us how difficult it can be at times, you know. You know, Peter, he faced that. Apostle Peter, he asked Jesus one time how many times he should forgive someone. He asked him if 7 times was enough. And, you know, Peter was doing pretty good. I mean, we think this forgiving someone 7 times for the same sin is pretty commendable. And so he was thinking maybe that was enough. And he asked Jesus that in Matthew 18, verses 20. I'm going to read Matthew 18, 21 through 35. Peter came to him and said, "Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? 7 times 7? Jesus said unto him, "I say not unto you 7 times 7, but 7 times 70. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened to a certain king, which had taken account his servants. And when he began to reckon, one of them sought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents. But for so much as he had not to pay, the Lord commanded him to be sold, him and his wife and children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, "Lord, have patience with me, and I shall pay thee all." And the Lord said unto the servant, he was moved with compassion, and he loosened him. He forgave him the debt. But the servant went out, he found some of his other fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him, and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me what thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down by his feet and besought him, saying, Have patience with me, and I'll pay thee all. And he would not. But he went out, cast him into prison, till he could pay the debt. When his fellow servant saw what he had done, he was sorry. And he came, and they told him, Lord, and he came and told the Lord what he had done. And his Lord, after he called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all this debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest thou not also compassion on the fellow servant, even as I had pity on you? And the Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors until he shall pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do unto you, if you from your hearts forgive not every one of his brothers their trespasses. Quite some verses to read there and to consider in our own life. Jesus told him 7 times 70, you know, and we can do the math. That's 490 times, and that's a lot of sins, and that's a lot of pain to endure. That's a lot of forgiveness to apply. It may seem impossible or even impractical to forgive that, but Jesus said it, and we get the point. It's not even talking about 490 times. It's not even talking about. We get the point this morning. We know the story. We know that boss was, he forgave him a vast debt. That boss, just like Jesus forgave us this great amount of sin that we had, I think that the math was done, it was like $50 million. And, you know, sometimes we wonder how he could run up such an enormous debt of money. But when his boss demanded his money back, it says he begged unashamedly. And, you know, sometimes we need to be there. We need to beg Jesus unashamedly, because I think it's a beautiful way to come to Jesus, is unashamed and just to beg him. You know, we'd probably think this morning that he doesn't deserve to be forgiven for that kind of loose spending. You know, he went above and beyond spending $50 million, and he even promised to pay back the money. But this boss, he forgave him all. He forgave the whole debt. He just wiped it clean. And you would think after that happened, that he forgave him that big debt, you would think that this man would not have been worried about that small amount that this other guy owed him. But too many times it's not that way. Too many times it's not. You know, maybe it was $100. And he had him thrown in jail. And to be tortured until he could pay back all the money. The $100. You know, he said he was going to be, the boss said he was going to throw this man back in jail and throw him to the tormentors. You know, when we think about that this morning, what does that mean? In verse 35, so likewise shall my heavenly Father do this also to you from your hearts if you forgive not every one of the brothers their trespasses. You know, Jesus says these words to the believers this morning. He's talking to the Christians, or the professing Christians. He's telling us what would happen. What happened to that man is going to happen to us unless we learn to forgive, is what he's telling us. He said that the tormentors, they'll come, and they'll take us away, and they'll torture us. What tormentors is Jesus talking about this morning when he talks about the tormentors that are going to come? The tormentors of anger, the tormentors of bitterness, the tormentors that'll just eat us up on the inside. You know, Saul, he faced these things. He faced these tormentors when he was after David. He was being tormented. The tormentors of frustration and malice. You know, these tormentors that make you lie awake at night, maybe make you stew about the things that happened to us. Maybe these things will never leave our mind. They'll just eat us up. The tormentors of an unforgiving heart this morning, they'll stalk us day and night. They'll never leave us unless we learn to forgive. They'll suck every bit of joy from our life. They'll take this joy. Why does this happen to people? Because they're not willing to forgive from the heart. You know, Jesus says these things. We need to take heed. You know, we'll be like the unforgiving servant. If we stand before God, We're going to be we're going to be like the unforgiving servant if we don't forgive. When we stand before God, our sins are going to be piled very high. And that's every one of us this morning. Our sins are like the $50 million debt that we couldn't pay. We couldn't pay in our lifetime or even many lifetimes. You know, when we came to Christ, we came with a big debt. And we came with no way to pay our debt. We came with empty hands. But the good thing this morning is we came to a God who is rich in mercy. We came to a good God this morning. We came to a God that was full of love and cared for us. He forgave all our sins, and He didn't charge us anything. We came to that God this morning, and this God wants us to be able to forgive the way we've been forgiven. You know, I remember when that happened to me. I think, what would have happened to me had I came free from sin, had I got forgiven, and I repented, and I got right with God? What would have happened to me? Because I know I came to a God that was rich in mercy, because I battled for a long time to work through these things in life that I was facing. But I remember when I got free, I remember when those shackles were taken off, and I remember God's mercy was so real in my life, and you know, the things that I had a trouble confessing, these big sins that I didn't want to confess because I was scared what people were going to think of me and all those things. When I got free from those, I called my brothers, I called family members. I wasn't scared of them no more. I was able to talk about it. But what would have happened if I'd have went out and got off my knees and went out and I saw one of my neighbors that owed me $100, or that I was upset at for some reason, and I wanted to make him pay for his crimes? What would have happened to me? I believe that my sins would have came right back up on me. I believe that I wouldn't have been forgiven no more. You know, we need to learn to forgive today. We need to learn to be able to let go. And I know we face the temptations in life to face bitterness, anger, tries to come into our life. But we have a merciful God that wants to help us and wants to be there with us and help us battle these things off. I'm sure this morning if we talk to the counseling centers, the Christian counseling centers around the country, I wonder what they would have to say about the lack of forgiveness in people's hearts when they come in there. And they try to work through problems, and they know that these people have all these struggles from their childhood that they never dealt with, and all the unforgiveness that they built up. You know, I believe that they'd have something to say about that. You know, there's no wonder this morning that the friendships of the world don't last. People can't get along. They never learned to forgive this morning. Not only seven times, but they never learned how to forgive 7 times 70 either. That contention is still in there. You know, to have these levels of forgiveness this morning, I believe this morning that if we could see this other person the way Jesus sees him, and to see him as someone that God put on earth to carry out things in life, and that he's here for the same purpose you are, maybe that means forgiving him like Jesus did then. You know, we can admit this morning the sin, but we need to surrender these rights to get even. Because the Bible says vengeance is God's. In the flesh this morning, that's a hard thing to do, because it's natural to want to have someone else pay for the crime that they caused or the sins that they applied to you. But in the end, we must leave all this judgment into the hands of a just and living God who is merciful and true. You know, we must revise our feelings this morning towards the other person. We must give up the hatred and let go of bitterness. Ultimately, that means taking Jesus' words very seriously when he said, loving your enemies, blessing those who curse you, and doing good to those who hate you, and to pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. We know this morning that we can totally forgive when we ask God to bless those who hurt us deeply, and we can really mean it. The standard is high this morning to be a Christian, and without God this morning, we know it's impossible. To be able to forgive this morning is nothing less than a work of God in our life. I believe that. What is the result this morning? What is the results in the lives of men this morning who of not being able to forgive? What happens this morning if we go through life and don't forgive for a long period of time? What will happen to us? I believe this morning that we'll lose clarity of life. I believe we'll lose clarity of what we're here for. I believe we'll lose vision. The stories could be told this morning of people getting upset at maybe church families or maybe even at churches and getting bitter and allowing unforgiveness to move in their heart. And the stories could be told of this, how many lives that this destroyed. I believe that we'd all know many people who allowed these things to happen in their life and maybe even took it to their grave. Because unforgiveness this morning, I believe it'll cause loss of vision in our life for our families and for our homes. Unforgiveness this morning, it builds walls between you and God. It severely hinders spiritual growth. When you harbor these things in your life, it'll act like a spiritual cataract. It'll cloud our discernment. It'll block the flow of God's grace. It'll cause a loss of spiritual vision and spiritual direction in our life. It'll hinder our prayers. The Bible links our ability to forgive others this morning with the effectiveness of our prayers. If we hold on to offenses this morning, it'll break fellowship with God. It'll make us feel distant. Not only will we feel distant, I believe we'll be distant from God. So many times this morning, I believe that God wants us to, the way he said to the children of Israel, he wants to be the chick, the hen that protects his, puts his wings out and covers his chicks. I can't think of that. I just thought of that. But so many times he wants us to cry out like that to him. He wants to be there to protect us. He wants to work in our hearts. We may not know this morning how we want God to work in our hearts, but we can ask him to work there, and he knows. Unforgiveness this morning will trap us in a cycle of darkness. As Jesus noted in the Sermon on the Mount this morning, that the eye is the light of the body. And if your eye is darkened by malice, your ability to see God's truths and direction in life, they're going to be impaired. The Bible is full this morning of verses that warn us the dangers of unforgiveness. In Mark 11:25, it tells us, when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them, so that your Father in heaven may forgive your sins also. In Ephesians 4:31, it says, get rid of bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, slander, along with every form of malice, and be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other as Christ forgave you. In Hebrews 12:15 says, see to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up, causing trouble, defiling many. You know, this morning, I believe unforgiveness will cause a lack of desire in our life. Unforgiveness will cause that desire, that hunger and thirst for the things of God. You know, in Psalms 32, verses 3 and 4, David talks about it, his unconfessed sin. When David writes about it, he talks about God allowing his fellowship with him to cool in order to snap him out of his sinful stupor and to draw him back to repentance. God will allow that sometimes. He does mighty things to try to draw us back to him. It says, when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through all the groanings all day long, for day and night, your hand was heavy upon me, and my strength was dried up by the heat of summer. David talks about the spiritual exhaustion he feels from the result of the silence of God regarding his sin. He says, those who are cold towards God, God allows them to remain cold. Paul echoes the same thing between sin and deadness in Galatians 6, 7, and 8. He says, be not deceived, for God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall the Spirit reap everlasting life. You know, if we sow to feel our sinful desires this morning, We should not be surprised to find ourselves distant from God and less enthusiastic about the things that matter to Him. I believe this morning that unconfessed sin will blur out our passion for God. And as I was thinking about this, our passion for God, and that one night I was laying there and I was, I'm not sure if this goes here or not, but I was thinking about just the realization, because we're all going to die one day, we're all going to come before God, just the realization that we just died. We come to the realization that we are going into the presence of God. And I thought about that one night, and that was an amazing thought to think about. That should make our heart race when we think about that. Because I was thinking about it as we're coming down that tunnel, and we realize that there's nothing we can do to change anything no more. That if we're living for God, we're in good shape because we're in the hands of a beautiful living God. But if we're not living for God, I don't know of anything that could be more frightening than that. As I'm getting ready to close here, maybe there's much more that we need to learn about forgiveness. First of all, forgiveness is not an option if we're going to be a Christian. It's part of the Christian life. It is a necessary part. It means to be a Christian this morning, we need to be that if we're going to follow Jesus. We have no other choice. We must forgive as God has forgiven us freely, completely, graciously, because He's a merciful God. And as freely as we receive this forgiveness from God, we need to pass this on to our fellow man. I believe this morning that we forgive to the extent that we appreciate how much we've been forgiven. The Bible supports that. I believe that that's the best incentive to forgiveness, is to remember how much God has forgiven me. And to just think about all the sins that God forgave us. Think about the punishment we deserve. We can look at it this way this morning. We wasn't only forgiven because of the grace of God. That was not the only reason. Because had we not forgiven and did our part, the sins would have still been on us. Because in Luke 7:47, it tells us that He was forgiven little because you forgave little. Or you love much because you were forgiven much. And it's a beautiful way to look at it. Our willingness to forgive this morning is because we were forgiven. I seen this little snippet here. It might have been in that book. It says, forgiveness is the fragrance the flower gives to the foot who crushed it. That's a beautiful thing to be. That's a beautiful testimony to be able to respond in a way. If you get slapped in one side of the cheek, to be able to respond the way God did. I don't believe the world don't see that. The world don't see that side of humanity very often. You know, we need to be like Jesus this morning. We'll never be more like Him than when we learn to forgive like Him. We're never going to be set free until we learn to forgive. There's many young people here. I noticed yesterday, as we're at the homeschool, many young people playing volleyball. The question remains this morning. It's very basic. Do we got our sins forgiven? Have we went to Jesus for the forgiveness of sins? Have we asked Him to take that heavy burden off our chest this morning? I was a young man, so I know all about these things. I know all about carrying a heavy load of sin on my chest or on my back for many years. I know about it. I know how this is. We can do many good things. You know, I battled through going to church. I battled through church life. And, you know, because of that, I had a hard life. I was dealt very hard things in life because I battled through church life, and I never enjoyed church. And even after I got married, life was hard. It was hard to love anyone. It was hard to be a loving person. It was hard for people to love me. I probably was not fun to be around. I could not forgive no one. Because I wouldn't forgive no one. And you know, I was a young man who went to church that thought he always got picked on. I thought that my church leaders probably picked on me more than others. There was a couple different groups of young people, and I wasn't in the good group. There was the good groups, and there was the other groups. And you know, I allowed these things to work in my heart because I seen the good groups doing the same things that I was doing around the back, and I struggled with that, and I knew that I would get in trouble with it. But it wasn't until I learn that these things are not going to matter, that I need to be right with God, and I need to be forgiven, that I could forgive. You know, then I could forgive my dad. Me and my dad could have a good relationship after I learned that. Me and my dad could be friends. We could work these things out. My church members, this is even after I was married, we could be friends. I could be friends with the guys that were in the other group that I used to struggle with. Then I could, then at that point, I could discover joy in my life. I could discover what it was to enjoy life and to enjoy to have that heart that's free from sin. Has that happened? Do we got that heart that has that joy in it? Is there a song that bubbles out of our heart? Are we free to be able to share with others about how Jesus cleansed us from sin? How Jesus cleansed us with that flood? These songs were very precious to me. And when I, right after I got converted, we had different song books. And I know this song is, I don't know if we got to even have it here. Is it, have you been to Jesus for the cleansing flood? I believe we do have it. It says, are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you trusting in the grace of God? It says, lay aside those garments that are stained with unforgiveness this morning. Lay aside those garments that are stained that way. Because it says there's a fountain that is flowing for the so unclean. And that fountain flowed for me for many years, and I hope that it's continuing to flow for me. Because as I go through life, I'll continue to need that fountain to continue to flow to cleanse me from the unclean things that we face in life. God's heart is we never walk in sin or we dwell there. His heart is that we continue to repent quickly and to forgive quickly, and He'll be there for us. And He wants us to walk victoriously through this life. So thank you very much for listening, and I hope this came out in the way that I meant it to, because if you'd know how I meant it to come out, you would agree that it would have been the right way. Bless you.